Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org.
Tressa Glover.
Hello.
Welcome to Berg Vivant. It's
Thank
about
you.
Time.
Right? I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I am happy to have you here as my Thank guest. You. Thank you. Now, you do a heck of a lot here in Pittsburgh. I mean, a lot. You act, you produce, you write, and yet every time that I see you, you're so happy, and it just seems like carefree and stressful. Is that acting?
There might be a little bit of acting. Yeah. I think maybe. No, I try to, because yes, there's definitely, especially running your own theater company, that alone.
There's that.
That alone will get you. But yeah, I do think that it is something where I try to find the positive, almost like a Pollyanna sort of situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it could be, yeah, the stress could get you. But I do try to, it's nice that you say that.
Oh.
That you think of it that way, because that's nice.
You
but
just,
I do try.
You give the impression like you're just so reliant. I have so much free time kicking around, and I know that cannot be the case at all.
I don't know. But this free time of which you speak.
I know. I'm still looking for it. But Pittsburgh's been pretty good to you.
Yes.
You've got a long relationship with the city. You're from here originally. From what? What area?
The North Hills, from Hampton.
Okay, very good.
Hampton area. Yeah.
Now, when you talk to someone outside of Pittsburgh who's never been here, how do you describe this city?
So, some of the friendliest people. I really do say that. And how much there is to do here, and even how that has grown and changed in the last 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, and the people here, it's a community, and especially when you leave this place is when you realize it more, I think, because I've lived in New York City and I lived in Chicago, and there's something about the unity of the people here that once you're away from it, you get it even more, even if you grew up here. You know, it's sometimes when you have to see people who are in the other places, and you go, huh. So there is that, and there's such a strong work ethic here. The people get stuff done, people have a drive, and people, you know, find a way to get stuff done. But it's friendly, and then just the diversity of everything as far as the arts, but then also sports, and, you know, there's so much here happening. So I think...
And you mentioned that, you know, it's come a long way, 10, 15 years. Do you yeah. think you could be have done what you're doing now in Pittsburgh if we were 10, 15 years ago?
I don't know. You know, I want to say, yes, of course. But I don't know. I think that it's because of how everything, you know, how it all evolved, that now all of these opportunities, you know. I mean, I like to think that we could have made it happen whenever, but I don't know.
Now, let's go way back, because, you know, through the magic of the internet and things that people share on the FB, on the daily, have you seen these old pictures that are surfacing of Pittsburgh in, like, the height of the coal and steel era? And I love this city. You know I love this
yes.
city, but I look at these pictures taken at noon in downtown Pittsburgh from like 1936, it looks like a nightmare. I mean, and I'm being kind.
Yes.
I can't believe it that it's come that far. Yeah, but you've seen these, right? You know,
Absolutely.
What I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a bright sunny day, but you can't even, it just looks like it's midnight because of the soot clouds and everything. It's come so far. So I often think, you know, what was the arts and entertainment scene like back then?
Right.
You know? I mean, I read a lot of autobiographies of old vaudeville performers, believe it or not. This is a hobby of mine that not a lot of people know about. But a lot of them came through the Pittsburgh circuit. and performed at theaters that are still around. Mae West is one that comes to mind, performed in Pittsburgh. And I think the theater, and I may be mistaken, I think it's what now is the Byam, because wasn't that the Fulton? And then there was the Stanley. We're going way back here. But point is, the city's come a long way.
It has.
So what would you have been doing back in the 30s? What do you think would have been your trade?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And in Pittsburgh, let's make it interesting. Let's set it there, because you're a lady of many talents, certainly.
Thank you. You know, so let's see. I mean, yes, I would like to think. But the other, if the opportunities as far as for acting in this weren't around, or, you know, weren't as available, I could see maybe a teacher. I teach now also, but I could see that. I could see that maybe happening.
I find that with a lot of artists, no matter what, their will comes through. You know, their art shines through. You can't keep it down. And if there's no venue or outlet for it, they'll make one. And you certainly do a lot of independent work here in the city, which has been very successful. Case in point, well, running your own company. Well, I mean, and you have some help with that.
A little.
So this is No Name Players.
It is.
Of course, and the and your position is artistic.
Producing artistic
director. Now, what is the difference between a producing artistic director and an artistic producing director?
Well, that's the question.
Ah.
I don't know. No, the difference is, well, between artistic director and producing artistic director, I would say the biggest difference is the artistic director
wears a lot of scarves and jaunty berets, I think, is what is expected of that
sometimes
role.
Sometimes a monocle.
Ah, very good.
I think the artistic director really, as far as has final decision and the most about the season and the artistic, right, as far as the season that we put together, I would say it's the biggest difference. The producing, we both, you know, do all of it. But that's, I'd say, the biggest difference. Producing gets more, a little bit more into the management and the business end of it.
The stuff that's not very fun. Yeah. Those necessities.
It has to be done.
Well, so, when did No Name Players begin?
It began in 2002 at Marshall University.
Oh.
So Don DiGiulio, who's our artistic director.
Who I believe you've met.
A couple times. Uh-huh. I'm familiar. Yeah, I've met him.
He is also your husband. Are we at liberty to say that?
Absolutely.
Is that a secret? Or,
not a secret. So we've been married for 7 years.
Congratulations.
Actually. Thank you.
Now, how is that? Working in such a close capacity with your spouse.
Yes. So it's not an easy thing, but it's the learning curve. That's what it is. And finding, and it's taken a few years. So it's really been since 2005 that we've run the company together. And we were still dating at that time. We weren't married yet. But that's what it is. You find, because it is so easy to have it be all that you ever talk about and all that, right? So it's like you're gonna run this company together and then it follows you home because of course you're, and especially because we're a smaller company, you know, we don't have a huge staff.
It's all you, at the end of the day.
Right, so it is that, and learning, it really took time, and I feel we've, and especially in the last year or two, we're getting to a place, I know that we're both feeling like, okay, we're finding something here. We've always worked well together because we make, our strengths are different and our weaknesses are different, so we make this whole, which is why it works. But as far as the communication and finding, okay, we're in business mode now, so if I sound this way, it's completely business and has nothing to do with the personal or the, you know, husband-wife situation. And so it definitely takes time, but I think what helped it the whole time was that we really do have such a respect for each other as, not just as people, but as artists. Mm-hmm. And so if we did disagree, because that's part of the problem when it is just the two of you, and we're getting a little bigger now, where maybe there are other voices, but when it's the two of you, and so there's no person to be like, okay, well, how do we make this decision?
There's a third-party mediator.
Correct.
Maybe that's something you need to apply for a grant for, to have, you know, hired. I would love that position. Just call me up. I'll come over with the cocktails and be like, okay, what is it today? And I can, you know, be very wise, like Samson, like, was that King, or Solomon, and, you know, all right, we're just going to cut the script in half. You know, and then you know, that I can come up with fun things like
actually,
that.
Actually, yeah. I love this idea.
I'll be your lifeline.
Yes.
Yep. And I will always bring the cocktails.
See, and then that's it. That's all we need.
See,
this is perfect.
We're solving problems right here. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Check that off my list.
Now, do you feel that your artistic tastes differ? And how?
That's a good question. For the most part, we're usually right on. We usually are pretty close in agreement. I sometimes, for example, we did Evil Dead this summer.
Yes. Who chose Evil Dead?
Amazing. Don chose Evil Dead. And only, and not in a bad, like, it was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever been a part of. Because it was so, I mean, I loved everything about it. But for me, would I have said, oh, let's do this? Because I had never, I've never seen the movie still. So I had no
Nor have
frame
I.
of reference. I had not, so that's what I mean, like those types of things. So maybe that sort of category, because I just had never seen them, but he had grown up watching them and it was, you know, this B-horror thing, and he said, no, I'm telling you, this is going to be, so that's an example of something that I just didn't even, you know, wasn't on my radar.
It was enormously successful.
It was crazy. We sold out like crazy. We had two midnight shows we had to add, and those were, that was unbelievable because the show itself, a little blood was involved. Several gallons every night.
That's very kind of you.
Just a little.
Will you ever be invited back to Off
you know,
the Wall
we're going to be there this summer, and I don't know if the contract's going to have any sort of, like, extra sort of, yeah. But, so here's the show where there's all this blood, the costumes or everything, and so when we were going to add those midnight shows, we, of course, said to the actors, okay, only if you're up for, first of all, doing this twice, and the crew, Steve Tolan and his crew, everybody, it was like as soon as the show was over, we had to just reset, and we had washing machines going at the theater, at people's houses close by, because that was the thing too, is getting the costumes ready to reset right away. But the energy where everybody, as soon as we put it to them, no one, they were like, yes, let's do this again. Even the people who were hunched under the stage the whole time doing all the effects, they were like, yep, let's do another 2 hours. I'm like, okay.
Let me tell you this about Evil Dead.
yes.
I did see it.
Yeah.
And I had never seen a production from No Name Players before. And don't let that insult you. I am so busy, I barely get out to see anything. You know, you talk about doing laundry. I'm thrilled when I get to do mine, you know. So the show is far, far from my taste, you know. And so would be the movie, I have to presume. But this, the attention to detail and the quality of this production absolutely blew me away. And I do not say that lightly. It was incredibly, meticulously well done. And I kept thinking to myself, how did they do this? And why do they only do one show a year or two shows a year? I mean, my goodness, the quality was unbelievable. It felt like I was seeing something off Broadway in New York City. And I was, it completely exceeded any expectation that I had. Now, would I be compelled to see the film again? No, I'll be watching Bette Davis and now Voyager, thank you very much. But, I mean, I couldn't get over the technical, and of course the talent was amazing. And I really don't go on and on about much. So, but I must tell you that.
Thank
I mean, and that's saying for subject material that, you know, with blood squirting everywhere, it's not my usual Friday night, but I was amazed by the quality of that, and I think you know, it really turned me on to what your company is doing. So, and I am baffled. I mean, how, for a small company, really, are you able to impress and dazzle on that level? What do you owe that to?
You know, I honestly, it's the commitment. I think it all comes down to just the passion that we have for it and the commitment that we have for it, because the way that we, you know, the budget that we did that on, people probably wouldn't believe. it would be smaller than you would think.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. I mean, yeah. I wanted to frankly ask, okay, you know, people with money, right? Because that looked like you spent $1 million.
No. I mean, we had a Kickstarter campaign, and that was purely for the special effects.
There was a moose head on the wall that spoke, and its eyes lit up, and it looked real, okay?
It's just every time, I mean, of course, I knew it was coming, and every night I was like, oh my God, like every time it happened.
Now,
you
know, somebody who has also produced, I'm watching it, I'm adding it up. Okay, there's 1,000, there's 500, there's, you know, 600. Yeah. Like, my God, I gotta talk to these guys and see what's going on.
I mean, there was, but I think, that's what I mean, I think at the heart of it is that we find a way, you know, because, and it's, sometimes, you know, we're not sleeping and we're doing whatever, but we will find the way to do it. And then we're lucky enough to be surrounded by people or people who support us who are like, yes, I will help you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will do this. And that's without that. I mean, so it's a combination of those things. I mean, and that's what we're immensely grateful for, is that we had these people around us who were like, let's do this with you. I want to, you know, we want to help you do this. And that's,
I think clearly you're doing a lot of things correctly and successfully. But and you do produce how many in your season, typically?
So it varies. Usually we do two shows over the summer. If you want to think of it as like May to August. We'll usually do two, either plays or, as we've just started doing, musicals. So that's usual. And then we have Swan Day in March. But this year... So that's give or take. So if you want to think about it that way, that's usually it. So I guess three. But then last year, for example, we did a Christmas show at Arcade Comedy Theater that was a shorter run. We did something like that. We did a one-man version of Toy Story with Andrew Swackhammer. You know, we started doing little pieces, you know, little smaller shows, different types of exploring different things. So it's, we're starting to kind of play with it and change, you know, what exactly our actual season holds. And now, of course, we have the live sitcom we're doing, so that's something new as well.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Sister Sorella, am I pronouncing it correctly?
That is it.
Which takes place here in Arcade Comedy Theater, where we are today.
Yes.
The signature brick wall, where I feel like we're getting our mugshots taken. You know? wonderful space. No Name Players has a good working relationship with Arcade Comedy Theater, which I think
we
just celebrated
them.
Its 2-year anniversary.
Yes.
A lot of funny people have been through in 2 years, including yourself, who performs in Sister Sorella. You do,
yes? I do.
And you write this as well, is that correct?
Yes.
So this is a little different from your standard theatrical piece. How so?
It is. Well, first of all, it is episodic, so it, like a sitcom on television. So every month is a different episode. So that's probably the biggest thing. And different in the sense that it's about three sisters and the three actresses, we all write it together. So that's part of it too. And then...
Now, are you used to having a writing team or are you primarily a solo writer?
Yes, solo. So I've never...
So how is this process? So with three chefs in the kitchen.
Honestly, it has been... I should knock on wood. It has been... above all expectations. I mean, it has worked really well, and there and just somehow our styles are each a little different, but our sense of humor is all the same, which of course helps. I mean, but and our styles are just different enough, though, that again, it supports it. It's just been great, and writing for each other. You know, we know each other, we've worked with each other, and so as just it's so much fun to keep these characters developing, and then keeping these other women in mind and being like, yes, oh my gosh, she has to do this, and writing it in. And then, of course, we have live commercial breaks. There's sometimes, and then improv-based, and we have, so there's that is all built into to the night.
So it's a little new. I mean, have there been other examples of this? Not that I've seen, but I suppose there might be some episodic theater.
Yeah, there was one in the 90s, I believe, which we actually didn't know about. And so... we were told about it in the 90s, and it was, I think, in Lawrenceville, somewhere, that they did almost like, they tried a sitcom, and I'm not sure if it was every month or every something, and I'm not sure how long it lasted. But we were made aware of that when we came out, because they were like, this is great, we tried to do, you know, this similar thing for a little bit. I think there were differences as far as with the commercials that we have and things like that.
I don't think
it's the exact same setup. But it's exciting, though, and it's, and just knowing... just the newness of it. And just like, okay, let's see. And what are we, you know, what's, what are we going to write?
And so the story continues from month to month.
It does.
So the thought is come see it this month and then return next month, see what happens. So do you have like cliffhangers built in and things? or is it pretty much standalone and then the characters continue?
Yeah, they're pretty much standalone, single serving. But who knows as we go if we might have some fun. And we've talked about that. And then we're also filming them all so that if you miss one, even though they are single serving, but we'll have it up on our YouTube channel so that you can go in and see what you missed if you just want to be caught up, you know. And
well, that's smart, I must say. That's a pretty good idea.
Thank you very much.
So we've had one of these thus far.
We've had one.
How did that go?
It was great.
Yeah?
And we had to sell out houses. And, I mean, I really don't know what to expect. Now even just the experiment really now just begins because it's great. You have the one episode and everyone who was here really seemed to enjoy it and love it. But now it's like, okay, let's see if what we are hoping to happen, which is getting people to come back, getting new people to come, like if that can all continue. But it was, I mean, we had a ball. And we, so the sisters are based, you know, they live in Pittsburgh and they're of Italian descent. which is Sorella, because Sorella in Italian is sister. So it's a little play on the sister's sister.
Well, from what you've told me just alone there, I think you've got material for several months.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
And we were the first episode, we were making sauce, the characters were. And so during the break, the whole audience got sauce and meatballs and Mancini's bread. So there's every episode's going to have something like that where the audience is going to get
roots.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if this is wildly successful, you'll have a gig for the rest of your life, you know.
Oh, gosh, right? That'd be great.
So who knows? That's wonderful. Come, so we want people to come and see that. Hop on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know, I don't watch much television, so I am not hooked on any sort of episodic things, but maybe this needs to be my thing.
I'll tell you, it's a little bit of, I think, I mean, obviously I'm, it's, you know, okay, I'm writing it and in it, but I just think for the sheer just kind of freshness of it and newness of it.
Mm-hmm. Something
and
new, something
different.
And to come
down, and these women, Maggie Carr and Julianna Avolio, who are the other actresses, they're so hilarious. And John Feitner is, and Connor McCandless are involved in it, and Hasselbaum. I mean, it's just, I don't know, yeah, I think it might be something you might just want to
big serving
check
of
out.
Comedy.
Hilarity.
Indeed. But this is not the only thing that's keeping you busy. You also teach, as you said.
I do.
And there's another event coming up that I believe No Name Players is producing, and this is Swan Day.
Swan Day, yes.
Now, tell me a little bit about Swan Day, because I thought I knew what it was, but then we were chatting earlier, and I was like, wow, I didn't know it was all that. So I wonder if there are other poor, unfortunate souls, such as myself, that don't really, you know the depth of Swan Day.
So, Swan Day, it stands for, I should get out a scroll. It stands for Support Women Artists Now Day. And it's always the last Saturday in March, Women's History Month. And it was founded by two women here in the States. Just let's select a day within that month that is specifically to honor and celebrate the work that women artists do around the world. And they wanted to get this idea going. And so we had heard about it when we were living in Chicago, because that's where one of them was at the time. And we're like, you know, what if, and it was, it encourages people to just like any other holiday, celebrate it. So if that means you go to, or if you have friends over and watch some films by female filmmakers, or go, you know, go see a, you know, art gallery, maybe there's a, you know, a showing of female visual artists, whatever you can do to just say, let's just honor and support these women.
Sure.
And so for No Name, we thought we should do something, and what should it be? And so part of our mission as a company is to work with artists from different disciplines whenever we can. And so we said, let's make Swan Day Pittsburgh. Let's just call it that and bring it to Pittsburgh. But then let's make it all these disciplines.
Now, did you have to get any approval for that from the founders? Or you're just like, hey,
no.
We're just going to do it.
We're like, we're going to do it and see what happens. Right. Yeah, because the idea, and so we let's put this together. And so this will be our seventh year. So what it is now, it's all world premiere work. And it's music, dance, theater, film, visual art. That's this year. In the past, we've had poetry and fashion designers and nonfiction work and puppet makers. And I mean, you know, just across the board, pretty much any discipline you can think of. And so it's become, and then in 2012, one of the founders, we get an email one day, and she's in San Francisco, and she says, I've been following your work, and I think what you're doing is wonderful. And
so that's like the head swan that contacted you.
Yes.
Wow.
And you had
no contact with her before.
I never.
Well, that's an honor.
And it really was. Yeah. It was really kind of overwhelming, really. And she said that she wanted to name Pittsburgh as one of only seven international partners for the day. And so there are events in more than 150 countries every year. And so we were one of seven. That she officially named, and then she came in to see the show.
Now, see, Pittsburgh should be immensely honored by that, I think.
After she was here, and she blogged about it and has written since then about us, and what she kept saying was, you know, the event itself, how much she loved it, but then specifically the work, the artists, like specifically the artists here, and just what a community this is, and how much is happening in Pittsburgh. And she just could not say enough about it. And I think the same thing. I think it's something that the city should be so proud of.
And it is one evening of multiple performances.
Yes. And this year there's live painters as well. So during the show, there'll be artists painting live in reaction to what's happening on stage. And there's our little art gallery. So there's visual art that'll be displayed, and then the actual short plays, music, dance, and every, like, during the actual show, no one piece is more than 10 minutes. So it moves along, you know, mm-hmm. you see a short play, you see a dance, you see a music set, you see a short film, and it just rotates through. It's about the length of a full play the whole night, you know.
And this is at the New Hazlett, yes?
No, this year we have been.
Okay.
Yes, we have been. And this year we're actually at the 20th Century Club.
That's correct. That's a beautiful space.
It's gorgeous. There's these chandeliers in the ballroom. It's this very Art Deco sort of...
I would love to throw a party there. Yes. I'm working on that.
Yes. And there's so many there's rooms for days. Like, that building just goes on and on.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. It's beautiful, though. So we're excited to be there.
Oh, that's a wonderful space. Yeah. Well, good. So, yeah. And for tickets for this, can we go to the...
ShowClix. You can go to our site, mm-hmm. which is noneameplayers.org, mm-hmm. but you can also go to ShowClix and look up Swan Day 2015.
It just sounds like an event that you'll find something that appeals to you. I mean, it's for everybody,
It
really.
Is for everybody, and that's part of what... You know, when you try to explain this event, like you were saying, like, if you don't know what it is, there's so much to explain. Because it's like, first you have to explain what does Swan stand for.
Just go is what I'm going to tell
That's
people. Just
what it
don't
is.
Just
go. Because to be honest, like, okay, so if you don't like plays, it'll be over in 10 minutes.
Who doesn't like plays?
But you know, maybe
what sort of crab apple out there is,
I don't know any. But, right, or it's like, oh, I don't really, it'll be over in 10 minutes. Just hang on. Something else is coming around. But also, you're going to get to see, part of the reason we love it selfishly is we rarely get to see. You know, if we have time to go, we're going to see plays, right?
Mm.
So how often do we get to go to dance shows and, you know, to see musicians?
That's true.
And so for everybody, it's like you get to go in one night. I mean, there's dozens. We have...
So it was very clever for you to bring it all to you so you don't have to go out and see it. I see what was
That's
going on.
That's really the point
here.
Of yeah. this. It's for me.
Work smarter, not harder. See? I had to take a note from your playbook there, I tell you. But that's very exciting. And congratulations with it. Year number
Thank
7.
You. Yes. Mm. It's crazy.
And I presume it'll just keep going and going and growing.
That's the idea. I mean, over all of the years, we've had more than 300 different local artists involved. Oh. You know, one year we had 90 in one show.
And now the artists are all ladies, yes?
All ladies, all local. Now the creating artists. Mm-hmm. So,
but you can have men performing
absolutely.
In the pieces.
They're
and certainly
male actors.
Men are welcome to attend.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah,
but no, there's some symbolism here, though, because the 20th Century Club was originally a ladies' club.
Yeah. That's right. I did know that one.
Okay.
And so,
well, I assume that was part of your process there.
I thought that was a good. Yeah, I thought this seems right. Let's, you know, it felt like the right place to be. But it's absolutely true. Men are absolutely involved, especially. I mean, the whole way through, crew, designers.
So I won't have to come in disguise then.
I
can just
think so.
Come as myself.
Unless you want to. I mean, you can.
I'll think about
you
that.
You can come dressed as a swan.
All right.
I'm trying to get that to take off. If everyone came dressed as a swan.
Do you remember when Bjork wore the swan dress?
Yes.
What was it, to the Grammys or to the, I don't know if it was the Oscars. What was your opinion of the swan dress?
It was something. I don't know. I mean, because I'm like, well, good for her, I think.
I can't believe that it was ridiculed rather than celebrated.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, good for her, right? It's like, she did, why not?
Exactly.
Who
and
cares?
I think now,
ultimately.
I wonder if now, if she tried to pull that off. Well, I shouldn't say pull that off. I mean, if she decided to wear that, you know, how it would go over now. I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
In fact, if I can find one of those, I may just wear it to your
Funny
swan
you
day.
Should say that. Ready for this. This was, who knows if I'll remember, 2 years ago for one of our swan days. Don DiGiulio, artistic director, had a conversation. He had talked about the idea of what if there were a swan dress involved.
And like a la Bjork, like making that connection
Bjork,
clearly.
The exact connection
He's
that
brilliant.
You're making.
He's brilliant.
He got together with Carrie Kramer, who's the wardrobe mistress at The Public, who also has been part of Swan Day. She's shown her fashion there. And before I knew what was happening, there was a fitting. And Don actually, after act one of the show that year, as we were introducing the second act, came out in the swan dress. And so we actually do still have it. Full on swan. It was amazing. She did. It was perfect.
I'm glad
amazing.
That some other sick person has made that Bjork dress connection mm-hmm. and done something about mm-hmm. it and done it justice. So now I will sleep tonight. Thank you.
And if you want to borrow it,
I'll call you.
Yeah.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I think that, you don't just create an ensemble like that for one outing. I mean,
no,
that's
what I mean. It's there. I'm like, this must be used again. Hmm.
One of the most hilarious performances I ever saw in my life. Have you ever heard of the Trocaderos? The men that do On Point Ballet, and it's hilarious. It's a wonderful blend of comedy and high art, because to see men doing on point ballet, first of all, is not easy.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious, and it sort of spoofs the art of ballet a bit. They are physically amazing because of the things that they're able to do and support themselves on point, but it's hilarious and captivating at the same time. And one of the funniest things I saw, they did the dying swan from Swan Lake, and this man came out on point and did the whole thing, and he had a swan dress on, but he, as he shimmied across, it just kept shedding. I mean, real, like it was snowing feathers.
Oh.
So that by the time he was done with the dying swan, it was all the feathers were off. Hysterical.
That's good.
Hysterical. I'll see if I can replicate that for you.
That'd
Maybe I can sneak in a swan tape.
Fantastic.
So a lot happening, a lot going on. What's coming up in the future for No Name Players? Or is it all secretive?
We actually just announced this week.
Okay, so it's not a
great
perfect
timing.
Let's discuss.
So we are doing, so in addition to, so Sister Sorella, mm-hmm. the goal is to run it for a year. So it started in January. So that will be every month happening. Swan Day. And then we just announced our play for the summer. The one play that we're in the summer is going to be Brood by Scott T. Barsotti, who is a Pittsburgh native.
Ah, very good.
He's in Chicago now, but he's a Pittsburgh guy, and directed by Stephen Wilson, who's worked with us several times, also a Pittsburgh guy.
Keeping it local. We
right,
love it.
Right, and it is a cast of seven women. Just seven women.
Well, that stinks for me,
not,
but
I know,
how nice
I know,
for them.
I know.
Call
but
me
that
for
never
the next
happens.
One.
When does that ever happen? I know. Please.
Well, no, that's good. But, I think maybe we need more plays like that.
Yeah. So we're calling it, this is really our season of sisterhood, is what we've named this, between Sister Sorella and Swan Day in this year. So that's coming up. It'll be the end of June into July at Off the Wall Theater. And it's really interesting. It's six sisters, the story, and it's kind of a dark take, and it's. Flipping gender roles and flipping the certain maybe fairy tales or ideas like that. It has a dark side to it.
Well, I am interested to see how all of that comes together in one play.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard when I think about, like, how do I sum it up? That's
well, that was about. Intriguing and mystifying, certainly. I think that's a good tease for that. Put all those things in a blender and see what happens. Very good.
Yeah.
So with all of this that you have happening, mm-hmm. do you get to go out and enjoy Pittsburgh away from the job, away from the theater?
Yeah. We try to. I try to. And that it is difficult, though, when you're wearing so many hats, you know, as most theater people, as most artists do, you have, you know, 12 different jobs at any given mm-hmm. time. And so sometimes when you do have a night off, it is like, no, I just would like to do laundry and some dishes and
you are hardcore
and sleepy clothes and not do anything. You know what I mean? It's when you have that time. But I've actually, especially this past year, been trying to make more of an effort to remind myself of the other part of life that there is, because I think it's all important. You have to have a little bit of everything in there, and that this business, I mean, it can swallow you up, you know, if you don't have your foot in another place.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to be like, yes, you know, let's go out and do this thing that isn't connected to, and not in a bad way, but just not connected to our day-to-day at all.
Skydiving?
Maybe I would try it. That makes me nervous.
You know, I never have. Because I can't find anybody that will do it with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I would jump right out of that plane. And yeah. Everybody says that's the hardest part, like to be like, I would, you blink once, I'm gone.
Really?
You know? But I can't find anybody that, because it's one of those things you want company for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just so you can sit down at a bar afterwards and be like, can you believe we did that? Yeah. And you'll talk about it for years. But no, I can't find anybody that'll go. You want to go? Can we go skydive?
Oh my gosh. Maybe.
And you know they
take. I think Don might go with you.
Well, we can do that. In the swan dress.
Oh. Okay. See now.
And
I'm going to make this happen.
You know they always take your picture, so we can hold a Berg Vivant sign when I go down. We can hold a no-name player's sign when he. Or Swan Day, even if he's in the swan dress.
Oh my gosh. I think it's.
I'm throwing out gems here.
I don't want to make this happen now. So.
Well, let's see if we can get it sponsored, you know?
That's the thing. That's what we need.
Possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm. Favorite restaurants, favorite bars in town?
Oh, my gosh. So, let's see. Okay. This is terrible. I call it the meatball place on Penn Avenue.
Oh, yes. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Siena Mercado,
I believe.
Siena Mercado. That's
but they do this thing where it's like three levels
yes.
of sin. And the meatballs are, I know the meatballs are on the first level. Now, here's what's funny.
And that's the only level we actually need, let's be honest.
Well, right, because every level is like a different thing. It's kind of confusing at first, but, you know, they go in there and they're like, it's, you know, they point it out. They have it like so simplified, but still it confuses me. Uh-huh. So I've been up to the top level, which is primarily like a bar. Mm-hmm. And I've been to the meatball level. I don't know what goes on in between. I have no clue.
Why? Maybe we should go there together.
And why is that such a mystery? Maybe, but yeah, I had that impression too.
Yeah. Okay. So,
so what's between meatballs and beer?
Right.
Indigestion. That's what. That's what you get when you go there. But no, I had a very nice dinner there twice actually downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And venture up to the next one.
Love it.
And it's, you know, love kind meatballs. Of a small portion. You get to choose what you like. It's simple, but yet complicated. Well, I hope that you get the time for meatballs and cocktails and rest and relaxation to recharge your creative energy. You really offer a lot to the city's creative scene. So keep doing what you're doing. And cheers to you.
Cheers to you. Thank you for having me.
And No Name. Oh, anytime. All the best.
Wonderful. Thank you.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.